Hello and welcome to Marooned at Magpie's headquarters, day 73. Getting there. Pump day, isn't it?
It is.
It is. Hello, Paul. You are with us bright and early. How is life treating you? How's your lovely, lovely new home? So exciting.
Johnny's not coming.
Johnny's not coming? What's the matter with him?
It's Daddy's birthday.
Oh, Daddy Isaac's, and he's lived to tell the tale. Clearly hasn't offended Mummy Isaacs enough lately. Oh, we'll have to tease Johnny mercilessly about 127. There's nothing else for it. That's what needs to be done. So tell us what's going on in your area of the world. We have insanity over here, as usual. Started off with the football league. We have got lots of football bodies over here. We've got the Football League, we've got the Premier League, we've got the FA, you name it, all involved. They're letting the players back training, but they've got to socially distance. That's going to be interesting. Anyway, the latest news is that they are now allowed contact training. Yes, I was wondering as well. They are allowed to tackle each other, but they mustn't get too close. It's going to be a whole different game when this settles down, I'm telling you. With a view to restarting the league in June, there are 92 matches left. And now, how many matches do we have in a day? Probably about 12. Probably each team has got 6 to 7 games left. But they've all got to be played behind closed doors. They're all going to be played at neutral stadiums. Heaven knows what will happen. It's chaotic. How's that in the States? Is it your quiet season? Because it should actually be. Last Saturday should have marked the end of the football season in Europe. And obviously they're all behind. A lot of leagues have been abandoned. But the Premier League refused to do that. I'm not surprised. This is because Liverpool are like 30-odd points ahead. And it would be criminal if they didn't win it. And they haven't won it for 30 years. So it's really, really a big thing for them. So non-contact training, basically, is what they're up to at the moment. Hello, Kim. Sunny Seattle. It's a bit warm here. They keep saying rain, but we've got a beautiful blue sky in the distance and a bit of a cloud hovering, but no rain from it yet. Oh, baseball's a summer sport and should just have started. That's where we're at with cricket, Paul. That should have started around the Maybank holiday, so probably about 10-14 days ago in earnest. And that's not started at all. Having said that, cricket's much less of a contact sport. Obviously, they've got to think about the crowd, etc. But I think you could probably, with cricket, socially distance easier, couldn't you?
On the pitch?
On the pitch, it would be simple, surely.
Not necessarily.
Microphone, so we can all hear you.
Not necessarily.
Why?
Because the slips need to stand close to the batsman.
They're not within 2 metres or they'd get their front teeth knocked out.
What about silly point?
Well, that's why it's called silly point. It's a silly place to stand. Cricket's a very strange game. No, I was meaning the crowd. The crowd could distance because there's more room. Whereas at some, you know, at Premier League football clubs, there's no chance. There's no chance that's happening. Anyway, that's what's happening. Not back yet. Contemplating it. Kim's cooking dinner. We expect to hear all about it, Kim. Absolutely. I had a rather nice meal cooked by Mike, as ever. But I do have a blinding headache today. Don't know what's the matter with me. Anyway, that was that. Now, yesterday, while Kim's cooking dinner, I can apprise her of this and put the links in. Yesterday, Kim asked about remote medical stuff. Ooh, free Spotify report from Kim. I can ask it to play an artist on the Echo, no problem. I can have it play through the playlist on the Echo devices throughout the house, but only if I do it from my computer. If I ask the Echo to play the playlist, it won't. That could possibly be a limitation. Have you ever tried that with ours?
No.
The issue we have with ours is an Echo device is considered to be personal in some regards. So it shows my calendar. It is hooked up to my Spotify. What's weird about that is that you can do a voice print recognition on the Echo so it understands who is asking it a question. So if I were to say to it, Alexa, show notifications, it would read my notifications. If Mike did it, it would read his, which is weird. So some of it is per person, some of it isn't per person. I've never actually tried it to play a playlist. I have actually asked it to play a song at a certain point, assuming it would play it from Amazon Music. It didn't. It played it from Spotify, which was an issue because I had Spotify playing elsewhere. But thank you for the report. Excellent. We need to investigate this more, Mike.
We do.
With what it can do and what it can't do. It would make sense if it could play a playlist. One thing I like doing, and it does it really well, is I will say to it, Alexa, now what's the actual command? I don't think the word play is in there. No, it's read. So if I say, Alexa, read my book to me, I don't even have to mention Audible because obviously Audible's part of Amazon, and it reads my book to me. It reads the last one that I was listening to from the point I was listening to it, which I find so cool. Most of the time I listen to it on my phone, but on the odd occasion that I don't want to listen to it on my phone, I want it playing on the smart speaker, it will do that. And then when I go back to my phone, it'll say you last listened at this point and it will resync itself. Very, very clever. Oh, Jonathan's in. He can only listen. A lot going on. Dad's birthday and a release happening as we speak. If it doesn't go to plan, massive headache. Oh, I hope it goes to plan, Jonathan. I was going to tease you with 127 mentions all throughout the show, but I won't. I won't. We were very pleased to hear that Dazzy Isaac survived to his birthday. Clearly, he's not painted that door yet. Anyway, Kim was asking yesterday about remote medical appointments, etc. And as luck would have it, there was a whole video on the BBC about it. Now, I don't know if you can get the BBC. It's only the news part of it, but sometimes they block specific geolocations. So that's the actual video on the BBC. But I did the sneaky download and upload thing. So the second one is just the video. It's probably about 3 to 4 minutes. It's a good piece. It's from a series that we have over here on the BBC News channel called Click, and it's the technology 30 minutes. We get 30 minutes a week on technology, and that was one of the stories that they did. And to make it more relevant to all of us, it was actually the doctor that they were talking to. Oh dear. The doctor they were talking to was based in Harrogate, which is close to Leeds, which is where Pete is. So it's just very, very interesting. It also had a little bit of a piece in it about PPE. And basically there was a charity who is making the PPE, and they were actually dropping it off while they were filming. So they included a little bit about that as well. What I did find interesting was, I specifically mentioned yesterday, you know, how do you do the old chest sounding and all of that, the stethoscopes, etc. They actually have a kind of machine that you go in this room. I'm assuming it's sanitised between patients. And it has all the equipment. So it actually had a camera. We talked about that. I mentioned ear, nose and throat, but everyone else got far below the belt, shall we say. This camera is for your ear and your nose. I presume you could pop it in your throat as well. So this camera's there. There's a stethoscope that they can hook you up to. There is an oximeter that you pop your finger into. So it's basically like, you know, like you would have a special input device for your computer, like my Stream Deck. It was like that, only it's full of computer equipment. It could do x-rays, it could do photographs. It was pretty cool, actually. So I thought I'd put those in for you, Kim, seeing as though you specifically asked. There was also a guy working from home. He was a radiologist. And the biggest problem from working from home wasn't actually taking the imagery. I believe that can be done by just kind of walking in and you just stand there and you take it. It was transferring the imagery from the hospital system to a domestic computer and complying with the privacy laws. So they've created a whole new browser to do it with, and it's called Xero. The idea being that when you come out of it, there is zero information cached on the local computer. The whole lot goes. A bit like Tor, isn't it? Medical Tor. Think of it like that. But definitely worth a watch. Definitely worth a watch. I have this vision that America is like 50 years ahead of us, but I could be wrong. I don't know. It's probably that long since I've been. But I did think it was a very good piece. I wonder about older people. There was a programme. What's it called? It was The Good Wife, and it turned into something else. The Good Something. Oh, what was it called?
I think Google it.
It was The Good Wife, and they basically the lead character left, so they then renamed it and called it The Good Something. I think The Good. Is it Good Fight? Is it The Good Fight? And in it, it's the people who write the series, both of them, both series, were very, very tech savvy. So in The Good Wife, they had this iPad meandering around the office on a set of wheels, and it cracked me up. The Good Fight, I'm right. It cracked me up every time I saw it. And basically, like, it would go where you couldn't go, and then you would kind of like maybe have a meeting with somebody at the other end. Only this thing's attending meetings. It's wandering around the corridor and interacting with you. I loved it. But in one of these series, this iPad on wheels went into a hotel, into a hospital room, and there was a gentleman in the bed, and his family were like around him. And he stood at the foot of the bed, and the face of the doctor appeared, and the doctor said, "There's nothing we can do, it's terminal, you're going to die, bye." And I thought, that's horrific. I don't think it should be used in that way. Sometimes you really do need the personal touch, and this was way too impersonal. So that's why I have this vision that you're years ahead of us, but I don't know. Let me know. When I say you are years ahead of us, I saw this story on the BBC. Had to read it. I am not consuming much in the way of news at the moment because I am not in the right frame of mind with our government. They're driving me insane. But this one was somebody who, a soldier who was at Dunkirk, which is obviously 80 years ago. And he was writing letters home from the front line. He died, and they thought they'd had his last letter. But 80 years on, his last letter actually turns up. Unbelievably, his brothers are still alive, and they managed to track them down. Obviously, the letter was delivered to the old address where his parents lived. But they've actually managed to track them down. So it's quite a feel-good story. But, yeah, our postal service take 80 years to drop something off. Yep, that's about right. I've got a parcel coming. It's been on its way since Friday. Still not seen it. I know where it is, but it's the wrong side of Birmingham. So it's not likely to be here anytime soon. I'm hopeful it won't take 80 years. So that's definitely worth a read. The other big news from the government. Now, this you can help me out. How is it where you are? We have got Test and Trace coming to the UK tomorrow. How do you feel about that? I feel a bit weird. I mean, I'm not going out, so technically speaking, I shouldn't ever get a notification. You're not going out to get a notification either, are you?
No.
I'm just wondering how it will actually... Will it be totally automatic? Do you have to opt in? There's so many questions. But Track and Trace is coming. I'm finding that a little bit hair-raising myself, I will be honest. It feels icky. I haven't actually done the iOS update that automatically turns it on yet either. I believe it will prompt you on the way through updating it. So you know when you usually whip through and it asks questions, you say, yep, don't do that. Don't do that. Because it depends whether you're going to opt in or opt out, and or at least at a minimum, seriously read what it has to say. I'm not at all sure. I'm actually more concerned about false positives, because I know I'm as safe as I could possibly be. I would say the only very, very, very slim potential chance for a calamity would be our grocery deliveries or the postman. You think there's anything else?
No. We do wipe everything.
We do wipe everything. Do you wipe the gate? Because you do actually open the gate and people open and close the gate.
No, but I wash my hands as soon as I come in.
I'm actually contemplating taking the gate off its hinges. Because it sticks like crazy anyway, it needs fixing. No, so I might just rip that off. That saves one more problem.
Or I push it open with my elbow. I've got good at that.
Oh, I do doors with my elbow now, yeah. Even our own in the house. If I'm washing my hands, I will open the bathroom door with my elbow.
Mm.
Technically, we shouldn't be able to do that, you know, because technically it's got a handle. And you should actually have to push the handle down, but it's never worked since the day we moved it.
My elbow.
No, you're not with me. Even if the door is pulled close to, so it's actually shut, you can push it with your elbow and it will open. You do not actually have to push the handle down to open it. It's broken.
Yeah.
It's never worked since the day we moved in. I had major problems with Mum trying to fix the toilet one. There was a tiny lock on the toilet door on the inside. And I don't know if you've ever looked at it closely, but you'd push the lock over and the door would fly open anyway if the window was open. And she said, I need the hole making longer so the lock fits in it. So I made the hole longer. Then when I tried it, I thought, that's not the problem. The problem was that the beginning of the hole where the bolt would slide in, it wasn't fully formed. There was like a side of it that was missing. So what I actually had to do with it was build half a door. The door frame wasn't right. Yeah. So I built the half a door frame. Kim uses her elbow as well. I also greet people with elbows now. Do the elbow bump. Mind you, we don't do that anymore either, do we?
I greet people with get out of my way.
Most people are still being pretty good about that, but
they are.
The ones who aren't are with the dog, aren't they? Oh, they can't not fondle the dog. She must get sick of it.
I get out the way of people and people get out the way of me.
At the moment.
And you just say thanks as you walk past.
Yeah. It's just giving people space, isn't it? But you see, you don't know how other people feel about it. Some people are incredibly blasé. Other people, absolutely not. You know, like that woman that ran into the middle of the road to go past the poor old guy. I don't know whether she did that because she wanted to or she could see how nervous he was.
Yeah.
I don't know. But some people have been very good and others aren't. And I think as you go out, if you were to go out like shopping, people would mow you down to get the last yoghurt. So I'm being as careful as I can be. I don't want my phone pinging in error, telling me I now need to self-isolate for 14 days. Because if you got that and you knew better, you knew you must be fine because you've not seen a living soul, and there's an emergency and you leave the house, then it's going to be on your record you should not be leaving the house because you'd be self-isolating for 14 days. But it was a false positive. You could find yourself in jail before you know it and it's nothing to do with you. I don't know, I'm a bit... I love my technology, but that it feels like there's just far too much scope for a major calamity with it. What's everybody else going to do? Kim does a lot of middle-of-the-road walking.
I do the same. The other day, I was walking down the pavement, or the sidewalk, so that Kim understands.
Oh, yeah.
I was walking down the pavement, and one person was coming towards me. There was two people on the other pavement. So I walked down the middle of the road and a car was coming. Well, he actually slowed down and stopped because he obviously knew what I was doing.
Yeah.
And then when it was safe for me to get on the pavement, I did so and he could be on his way.
What's interesting is when you think about the designs in the future for cities, is we've had our cities have radically changed looking at them now, that they have a lot of street furniture that may or may not look odd. It looks like artwork, some of it doesn't. But it's there for security. Have you ever seen the video about Arsenal's ground and the design of it?
Don't think so.
Arsenal used to be at Highbury and they moved, didn't they, to the Emirates Stadium. Mm. When they were building the Emirates Stadium, They built this huge thing that says like Arsenal FC, just in letters. Go.
Yeah.
Not the whole thing. Massive letters. These things are like 12 foot tall. And they're strategically placed and they act as a barrier. So if you remember when they were all doing the terrorist things with trucks, you would not get a truck through this thing. And you look at it and you think it looks overbearing, but it's actually there for a reason.
Yeah.
So throughout our cities have changed in relation to, you know, we need to put up barriers here. You'll find all the bridges in London. The sidewalks are separated from the main road area with huge concrete boulders to stop things like that. But now we've got this other issue. Imagine that you're crossing a bridge in London and you literally can't get away from the other person because there's this massive barrier to stop cars and lorries going in there.
Mm.
Which is why it's not a good idea to go out, to be honest. But what will they do in the future? The pavements clearly aren't wide enough. There's a point.
Mm.
They'd need to be wide enough to have at least one person on one side of it, one on the other, 2 metre gap. It's not wide enough. How wide are our pavements? Probably about 5-6 foot?
Yeah, about 6 foot.
But by the time you've got a person and a dog and you're trying to pass each other, not enough room.
And a kid on a bike.
Oh, kids can't seem to ride on roads these days, can they? No, I've seen a lot of that around here. And they're tooting their bells and the people on the pavement are going crazy. Because they're actually on the pavement. Don't understand it. Kim said it's amazing what we have to do to keep ourselves safe. It's true. Absolutely. There's also that, you know, Bollard Gate Island that I can see from the office window. You couldn't have two people on there either. It's not wide enough. So at the moment, I think we're coping because not everybody's going out. I'm not going out. Mike's not going out. But once we get to a stage where more people want to go out, the infrastructure just isn't there to cope with it. So I wonder in the future if they'll be building that and thinking about it. So Seattle's closing roads to automotive traffic so people can walk more. They've done that in central Manchester and they've done that in parts of London, I believe. So what they've done in Manchester, a lot of Manchester is pedestrianised to start with. And that just makes the traffic jams worse, to be honest. But there are areas of it now where normally there would be traffic and they have closed it, so you have to walk. But, you know, they forget with things like that, it's then not equal access for everybody. Because if somebody is, I mean, think about Ellen. What if we wanted to get Ellen up to, did she go on the tram that day or that, did they drive? They drove, didn't they? Up to Slattery's. Yeah. Yeah. Normally, Stuart's a whiz with the trams. I'm useless. Don't go on them often enough. But he's a whiz working out, you know, what kind of ticket you need. But this particular day, they had to drive up there and the rest of us went on the tram because the traffic come parking at the other end is so bad. We said it wasn't worth it. But, you know, if he needed to get her into the centre of Manchester for a theatre trip or something, would that the theatres were open, but you get my drift, it would be very, very difficult. Well, impossible if he can't actually drive on the road he needs to drive on. So it's all very well doing all of that, but it's as if people in cars are second-class citizens. And maybe you think that's okay if the person in the car could walk, but what if they can't? Then it's not equal, which I don't agree with. But at the moment, what can you do? What can you do? I guess we're just going to see more and more of that. Ellen went for her first trip out the weekend, didn't she?
She did.
She was thrilled.
Since Good Friday.
Yeah, just driving around, you know, just driving around the locality. But she's such an outgoing person, it must be driving her crazy. Like the priest. Mm. The priest is going round the bend. He's been going round the bend since week one. Mind you, he's getting out a bit, isn't he? Only to funerals.
True.
And there's basically him at the funeral and then like two family members and that's it. But the only time he's getting out is for the funerals. Which is, that must be so depressing because there's been so many of them.
Mm.
As you look at the back of the newsletter, there's just so many. And that's his soul escaping the presbytery at the moment. Not excellent, but... So are you going to download the track and trace and get all involved?
No.
Don't you care either? I feel I don't need it, but maybe I know they need a certain number, but it just feels a bit not quite there at the moment. So I'm one of these very careful, we'll see how that goes. That's where I'm at. We'll see how that goes.
Until the government pay my phone bill.
Oh, yes, I did say that, didn't I, to a previous boss. When you pay my phone bill, you can decide what goes on my phone. Yeah, that would work. That would work. The government can't keep themselves in order. I'll tell you, somebody who should have it, strapped somewhere offensive to his person, Dominic Cummings, so he can keep track of where he is and avoid the place at all costs. Absolute idiot, that man. I also mentioned in the mail, who read the mail? That I've got slots on Friday. Not for grocery deliveries, that's Saturday. I've got a couple of free slots. Kim will be hopefully thrilled to know I've started work on the Devon Think thing. Quite a lot to that, isn't there? So that won't be this week, but I have started work on it. I thought we'd mentioned a few things last week. Not me being busy at work, exactly. Exactly. When you know that you've not exposed yourself, if you pardon the expression, then you can be quite laid back about it, can't you? I guess it's far more important for people like Rachel who have had to go. Mind you, hers would be pinging right and left, wasn't it? She's a nurse. You've exposed yourself to somebody with COVID. Well, yeah, that's the job. I wonder how that actually pans out. But never mind. I'll ask her. I will ask Rachel the next time we speak how that works. So... I saw that, Paul. I think he did a video about it. I know that's just for note-taking. But yes, I spotted that one. There's also the free book, of course, from... Okay, off you toddle. Oh, who's the free book? Take Control eBooks. That one's a really good one as well. So I'll have a quick look at that. So I've been through my notes. Hear this. That's post-it notes. Whole little swathe of them. With two very naughty requests for my music show on Saturday. I won't say one of them's old, but it was on a 78. Jonathan probably doesn't remember Black Plastic, never mind a 78. 1959, apparently. But guess what? I found it. So at the moment, short of me remembering what on earth I said I was going to do, we've got three free slots. You've got the Take Control, you just need to read it. That's true. I must admit, I was sat here on Sunday and this thing had come through about 4 or 5 days before. And it was basically saying there's this offer on. And it was a book and et cetera. And I thought, I'm actually interested in that. And I left it and left it and left it. So it came to Sunday. And I thought, right, I'll leave that open in the browser and I'll read it all and I'll make a decision about, what I do about it. Is it a yes? Is it a no? So Sunday came. I looked at it like three times and thought, I'll do that in a minute. So at the bottom of the window, you've got one of these countdown things. It said like 11 hours and I thought, I've got plenty of time. By the time I next looked at it, or the last time I remember looking at it, it said 6 hours. I thought, I've still got plenty of time. It's fine. You know what's happening, don't you? I totally forgot. I went to bed Sunday night, woke up Monday morning and thought, oh, foobar, I thought. So I thought, never mind. Obviously wasn't meant to be. So I opened my email and an email had come in about 15 minutes before and it said last day today, and I thought, just a minute, that had a 6 hour countdown when I went to bed and that was like 7 hours ago, and I went and it'd been extended. So at that point I decided I would pay some attention to it. But then what I ended up doing, I'm sure we've all done this, Paul's already admitted it, do you have a central repository where you put them, Paul? You know, stuff that you would like to read or videos you would like to watch. Basically, personal or professional development. Because what I was doing was putting them in a folder. And the thing is, the only time you ever visit the folder, seriously, is when you're adding something to it. And you look and you think, yeah, and I've got all those other things I've not actually looked at yet as well. Is that what you do? Do you put them in a folder? Or are you even worse than that? Are you the old me where they were all in individual folders? That's even more of a nightmare. Because I then have to decide whether I put them by topic or all together as professional development. Luckily for me, thankfully, since then I've built a system and it's been a revelation. It has been an eye-opener. Kim does that too. Oh God, it's not just me then. Right, brighter than the sun, Colby Collette. Right, I've got that. I have got that. It's not going on a post-it note, it's going on a digital post-it note. You heard it here first. Using drafts as a digital post-it note. Excellent. Captured. It's amazing, isn't it? I think I'll put a by request tag in there as well. Liking that. Not really. I sort of have a folder or someplace in Notion or someplace. That does sound like me. No, what I did, and I didn't really, it was one of those things I built in Notion. I didn't really expect to work. Obviously, you know, if you keep up with it, then it will work. But I didn't expect it to work in the way it has actually worked. So what I did was I thought, right, I just need somewhere to grab links that I consider to be personal or professional development. So I watch a lot of YouTube. Don't like the TV. So I see a video that's recommended to me, or I see a video that I've actually gone and looked for. Oh, actually started going through the Ulysses tutorial sample info. Well done, Paul. Well done. There's a course on that. You've probably heard of the Sweet Setup. I'm sure they did a course on Ulysses. They are huge fans of it. Their stuff's quite short, and yet it crams a lot in. So there's definitely a course on that. I think there's a free course as well. Who would have done that? Let me have a look. It's hard to go wrong with Ulysses. The only thing is, watching the course, was it that one? No, it wasn't that one. Oh, don't call your app something that there's a book of. It never ends well. Could have been that one, and maybe it was free when it started. Nope, wasn't that one either. I'll try and remember. I'm sure there was one. So I wouldn't particularly, I might not add the actual apps training unless it was self-standing. What I mean by that is, if there's a course put out by Dev and Think, linked in from the tutorial, from the help menu, I might, but it would have to be kind of freestanding from the app for me to bother doing that. But what I did, all I wanted was a place to put, a table to put links that I wanted to go check, basically. And that was what I did. And I call it links at the beginning, then a colon, and then after that, what it is. So I have links MacBytes, links PPD, which is personal and professional development, links inbox. But they all have links at the beginning. And the rationale for that is I know when I'm trying to clip something that if the database I'm clipping it to doesn't start with the word link, I've gone wrong. I am saving it to the wrong place. So that's why I do it. So I was doing it and it was fine. And then I realised as I was like, oh, where's that link? So let's go back and see what the first... I think the first things were some tutorials for Hindenburg. And I'm pretty sure when I only had like 5-10 videos in it, I showed it to you. Let's have a look. Keep going. There is quite a lot in it now. Yeah, it was a couple of videos for drafts and there was a lot for Hindenburg. And all I really wanted was a place to put the video. And then I thought, you've got the video in there. Because if you save a link from YouTube or somewhere, the video pops in at the bottom. So I put the videos in. But what was fascinating was, as I came to watch them, I'm thinking to myself, well, the notes, obviously, might as well put the notes at the bottom. And this system that, in essence, originally was just save the link, let me watch it, and that's the end of that. The system that saved the links actually became the system that I used to make the notes in, which I hadn't envisaged. I must have thought, if I was going to do that, that I intended to do the notes in my notes database. But then it made sense, like I'm saying, to put the notes underneath the video. One, you know you've done it, although I do have like a status for the video. But I just started doing it and I'm looking, seeing when the first video was captured. So I've got them in a date capture order here. It wasn't that long ago. June last year, middle of June. So I've only been doing it since the middle of June. But then what I started doing was, even if I was just, I was watching a video and making notes on it somewhere, it made sense to add it to this PPD database. The beauty of it is, over the course of 11 months, you should see how many videos I've got in here. And they're all in one place. So by not being concerned what the topic was, or whether it was a book, or whether it was a course, or whether it was anything else, I've actually managed to build up the most useful knowledge base of everything that I've watched. So instead of thinking to myself, I watched a video on, you know, Camtasia 2019, and then not being able to find it again, it's all in this PPD system. The one thing that was proving to be a little bit problematic with it, mentally, for me, was making sure it was perfect in terms of that everything that I put in it had a poster frame and as much meta in as I could put. But the poster frame was the big thing. I reached a point where as long as I was doing a video, making the notes, adding a poster, it was fine. But if I was preparing for something and I had like 8 videos, none of them had posters, none of them had half the meta, it was like, I'll put that in later. And then it would drive me insane that it sat there and it's got no poster frame in it and I'm using the gallery view. But about, let's have a look when that was. I guess it was when I started in Rome, which was for notes. That was for book notes and that was it. It was book notes and nothing else. But I was making the notes about it, which seems a very meta. So it was about March when I got serious about Rome. And I actually said to myself, do you know what? Get over the fact not all of them have poster frames and leave it be. And then I carried on. Then I reached a point where I added a few more poster frames, but I do have like these blank ones that have no poster frames. It would be better if they did, but it doesn't stop me actually using the system. I can still search for it and stuff. I'm actually thinking, is there a quick way? I need to change it into a table view from the gallery view. Table view for all of them. So this would be in the last 10 or 11 months, something like that. 352 items. Now, when I say items, they're not all just... Oh, hang on, is it still calculating? No, 352. It's not just 352 items, because some of the items are full courses that I've undertaken and that I've put the notes in there. But I sat and I looked at it, and it's not even a year yet, and I thought, you know, if I hadn't have done that, if I hadn't have put them all in one place, I would have still had the information. It would have been more difficult to find it. But the biggest thing would be I wouldn't be able to look back and think, whoa, you have done a lot of personal development. That's been really, really useful. So the bit I think I must have showed you with the Hindi training was this links personal development system that I've got. Going up a level. Let's go up a level. I had a reading list on it and I had Notion videos, Hindenburg videos and my Teachable videos and a reading list. But they actually all now pull their data from this single import, it's one single table. And the Hindenburg videos would just go in that table with everything else. Originally, when I set it up, I created one system for Hindenburg and one system for something else. And one, no, don't do that. Just put the whole lot together, because if you do that, you can then filter them out later. And that's exactly what I did. But that's working better than I ever, ever imagined. I will find you the link for that thing that I saw. Let's get that. Oh, sweet, set up. Ulysses. I think they did one for Things as well. But I'm not, I wasn't a Things user. There it is. Ah, there's a logical URL for you, Paul. No, don't paste it in twice. Once is enough. Now, how much is that? Love it when he says buy now and doesn't tell you how much it is. Get past it. Come on, come on, come on. No, they don't tell you how much it is. That always worries me. I was watching a thing today and the woman said, you can get started with my course. Hang on, I'm seeing prices. The 12 video version is $29. And what's the other one? $57. The 57 one, I think, well, it tells you in the FAQ what it's got extra. Yeah, this girl was saying, you know, you can get my course from $197. And I'm thinking, what does from mean? She must have spent, oh, I can't even say because I was doing other stuff, at least 20 minutes banging on about that. And then when she came to it, it's $197 today and then $197 in a month and another $197 after that. So actually it's $600. So why don't you just tell us it's $600?
That's something I looked at.
Yeah.
Statista.
Nope, not heard of that one.
I told you about it.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's a statistics website.
That's right.
It's where I've signed up to the free version. It's where I go to get a lot of the ideas for the COVID stuff that I was doing on After Hours. And they offered me an upgrade for $39. So I went to have a look. When I got there, it was $39 a month.
I can understand people are put off, but what actually puts me off more is being told one price for 20 minutes and then another. Because what they mustn't understand is that when you quote me a price during your sales pitch, I'm contemplating whether that price is worth it to me. When you bait and switch the price at the end, you've stolen 20 minutes of my brain power because now I have to reevaluate. I'd much rather see the price at the beginning. And when you go to these long form sales pages and there's no price, it's like, do I really want to click through? Just tell me the price. It's as though they don't believe their stuff is worth the price they're about to ask for it, which I can't really get. I don't get
that. $39 I'd have taken it because there's some good data sets in there. But not $39 a month.
If you were doing that kind of thing all the time, if you were teaching statistics at university, you might. It's going to depend. But then if you're using less of the data, maybe they could have a pay-as-you-go or something. I mean, I only pay for one stock site on a monthly basis. Well, actually, you could. Well, I can divide it out to a monthly basis, but I pay the bill annually. And that's Envato Elements. But I have access to several others. And I bought like a lifetime deal. Now, would I pay for them on a monthly basis? And the answer's no, because I only want one on a monthly basis. I don't want to be paying any more. But they got something out of me by letting me have a lifetime deal. And I wouldn't say that I go there and download like 50 a day. I go and I look, and if they've got what I'm looking for, then I'll download it and I'll use it. That's it. I don't think I overuse it. Some of the ones that I've got are for like presentations. They actually have like presentations that you edit to suit your own devices. Just the Envato Elements covers the lot. So I think for what I pay, it's worth it. I wouldn't even have gone for that. But for the fact I was already, I had, because I've done training courses for Envato, I actually had an account. And because I'd got an account, they offered me this deal. And the deal was all the training. So every training course they've got, every tutorial, every article, and the stock images for one price. So that I'll pay for. And I do. But the other ones, by giving me a lifetime deal, at least they got $39, $49 out of me, which otherwise they wouldn't have got, because I can't justify that amount of stuff, that amount of subscriptions for what could be considered similar. I do searches across all the sites that I've got. You heading off now? You going to say goodnight? Mike's got training.
Night, folks. I'm going to do an Excel webinar because the other trainer didn't turn up.
Yeah, and they knew that days in hand. He went AWOL.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't know where he is.
No.
We have an Excel trainer on the loose. MIA.
So if you go to their website, it's not me.
There's a block for that on the left-hand side on top of the helmer. He's wandered off with his fan. Right, let's follow this up. Did you ever take courses at Coursera? No, I haven't. No. Like Paul says, I've got some off Udemy that I got free. I don't actually think I've ever paid for a course on Udemy. Which is scary, isn't it? Not scary. I've heard of Max Sparky. Where else do I get stuff that I use to learn? Mainly YouTube. To be honest, there's so much on YouTube and it's so good. Unless it's something the way you would prefer a course and you would prefer to spend your time working through it rather than actually searching YouTube, because obviously there's a lot of rubbish on YouTube as well. What I will say is has improved my experience with YouTube a lot. The higher quality the videos you tend to watch, the higher quality the videos they tend to suggest to you. It's actually quite amazing. It's interesting when I'm doing research for the music show and I'm looking for stuff on a 78 from 1959 that I then get recommended other stuff in that ilk. That's funny. But you can clear your history and then it will start relearning again, or just open up the window as not logged in. That obviously gives me problems because I'm not used to the adverts on YouTube. And then I'm bombarded with adverts and I'm freaked out. So I tend to do it on my main account anyway, and never mind, just get rid of them later. So you've been watching app demos on YouTube. It's very good for app demos. It's very good for short, snappy tutorials. Some people put up longer stuff. I've seen stuff up to like 3 hours 50. Not mine. Obviously, mine can be quite long, but these are like from other people. But the thing with YouTube is, you know, even if you're paying for like premium, which I am, it's very cost effective for the amount of learning that you have access to. It really is. I just love it. I can switch from like learning about something to changing genre very, very quickly. Like I'll just watch 5 minutes of true crime and then I'll be back to something else. I do love YouTube. It's got better and better over the last probably about 2 years use for me. That does actually coincide with when I got the premium thing. It did. So I have to think about that. But for new app demos, for people, if they're buying something that you're not, like the wheels. I mean, that wheel video was just stunning. I got all the fun of watching the wheels be unopened. Didn't cost me a penny. So it's good. It's good for tech like that. It's good for things that you have no intention of buying. Just to see them, look at them. Sometimes it's like, do you know, actually, that'd be really good. Sometimes if I'm looking to make a purchase, that's what I would consider to be not an instant purchase of £15-20, I'll try it. More like I'm looking for a camera, or I'm looking for something like that. Webcams. I've got webcams. The webcams are the best that everybody recommends. They are Logitech webcams. Can they focus? No. They can focus on a face. I'm not trying to record a face. I want it pointing down at the desk or my iPad, and I want it to lock the focus. It can't do it. It has a mind of its own. So it's a really good webcam, but there are problems with it. So I might be looking for a camera. Now, if I'm looking for a camera, I'm not going to rely on written reviews underneath it. Some of them will be accurate, some of them less so. Some of them I've got an axe to grind. So what I will do is I will go and look on YouTube to actually see somebody with the camera in their hand and then make a judgment as to whether that's something that I'm prepared to invest the money in or not. For that, it is. It's fantastic. And obviously, app demos, features of apps. What else do I watch on YouTube? Let's have a look. Oh, sound effects. Sometimes I need a sound effect for something. And if you put into the search engine in YouTube, SFX, all one word, it comes up with the most amazing stuff. That was where I got my Darth breathing. That one. because I didn't fancy standing there and doing it for 10 hours. So I got this audio of Darth's breathing from YouTube. It was fabulous. They do have the most amazing stuff. They also have a library of music, of pre-approved music. So if you wanted to put, even on tutorials, some people put music behind it. If you want a pre-approved music track behind your voiceover, that way you don't have problems with monetization and copyright claims. There is actually a library within YouTube of music that you can use as well as sound effects. It's pushed more towards creators, but it's there. And I think that's pretty amazing. So when I think back to, I'm old enough to remember 2005 when YouTube landed. And I'm like, oh, it's video. Right, fine. Move on, nothing to see. And then I think back and I think, the first video I ever put up, there's a saga with why I have two YouTube accounts. But the first video I ever put up, I uploaded it across mobile data in 2010. And it was when I got my iPhone 4. And all I did was do a video of the queue. Just literally, this is the queue. This was after we'd got out. And I said, I want to upload that to YouTube. Never uploaded to YouTube before. Didn't realise you needed accounts and all kinds of stuff. So it said, log in with your Google account. So I did. But my Google account back then was a dedicated Google account. Much later on, I thought, oh, I want to put some tutorial videos up. And it was like, I don't want to put them on that account. I want them on the other account. And then I needed another account. By which point, and this would be shocking behaviour, but for the fact these accounts are both mine. Obviously, with the first one, it said, what's your name? Put Elaine Giles in. So my URL was youtube.com/Elaine Giles, blah, blah, blah. When a couple of years later, well, actually, it was about a year later. When a year later, I came along and I thought, I now need this on my primary email. And I created a new account. I couldn't obviously have that username and there was no way to change it. I thought, darn it. So I pondered for a couple of days and I thought, I don't want to be putting numbers on it or stuff like that. And I came up with the Elaine Giles. I thought, that'll do. So I put in the Elaine Giles and that was my YouTube URL. It probably was about 3 or 4 years later. Now, bear in mind, I had put nothing else on the first account that had the correct name. There's just one video on there. There might actually be two. I might have put one up of Maya. I think I could have put the howling video of Maya up. But literally, there's been nothing on it since about 2011. Anyway, they bring out Google Plus, which again is a Google service and YouTube's a Google service. And there was all this cross-pollination going on. And I got an email and it said, would you like this username on YouTube? And I looked at it and I thought, hang on a minute, I've already got that username on YouTube. So basically what they were doing was offering the second instance of me, which is the channel that you watch after hours on, etc. They were offering the second instance of me the chance to have a URL that said /Elaine Giles. And I thought, and how's that going to work with the other account? Interesting. I got no notification on that account at all. So I pondered it for a couple of days and I thought, I'm going to do it. I don't know what will happen to the other account, but I'm going to do it. So I said yes, etc. and went through all these hoops. And you can now put youtube.com/Elaine Giles and that will get you to me. You can also put the Elaine Giles and that will get you to me. What happened to the other Elaine Giles was there was something before the Elaine Giles. So it's youtube.com/xyz/Elaine Giles. And what they were doing was giving first dibs on the best names, if you will. You know, obviously they were working on the principle that a YouTuber would want their own name to the people who had the most views. And the second me had way more views than the first me. And I got it that way. But I thought that was a bit off to the first me. Obviously it didn't matter for me. That was what I wanted all along anyway. But I'm thinking about other people where somebody else had that name first. So the one in this country that comes to mind is on Instagram. There was a gentleman who had the username Sussex Royal. And Sussex is a place in the UK. The royal part of it was the local football club called the Royals. So he had a name of Sussex Royal. That would be, if you were a Manchester United supporter, the equivalent would be Manchester Devil, because our nickname is the Red Devils. And Meghan and Harry came along and wanted it, and that was that. He had it taken off him. Didn't even get an email saying why. He became underscore Sussex Royal. And now they're not even using it, and it was his account. That is off by a mile. But yes, that's the story of what actually happened. So Kim says, one day I couldn't get my car door to close. Went to YouTube, and they had the video in 3 seconds and a screwdriver, and it worked. I did that for something. It wasn't my car. I wish I could remember what it was. Mike had an issue with his car. Oh, I know. It was Mike's central locking. Mike's got central locking on his car. It locks fine. Unlocks, not quite so much. So he got a mechanic out. Mechanic had a look, paid the bill and everything, started doing it again. So I said, why don't you Google it? And it's a known issue with the make and model of car that he's got. But the mechanic who came out to sort it, the other problem was, because it was had central locking, you couldn't get a key made for it for less than £250 for a key. Anyway, the mechanic said, oh, I can sort you out with that. And he got him two extra keys. So what we actually do now is the key stays in the lock. That way we don't have to worry about the central locking, but we both have a key to it to lock all the doors. But it told you how to dismantle the thing, which was what the mechanic was doing. It's fantastic for stuff like that. You can actually put in the make and model of something and then what your problem is with it. So like a vacuum cleaner with a belt, and you will get a full breakdown in how to dismantle this thing, fix it and reassemble it. It's amazing. I think I did it many years ago, probably about 2014, maybe 2013, because We had a laugh here that whenever Dad was very, very ill, then he died. Mum was seriously ill, then she died. But during that time, the washing machine went one year and the dryer went the next. So I remember Googling for my mother how to take it. Was something to do with the rubber seal on it. And we Googled it and we looked at it and I said, yeah, let's just buy another one. And it was that difficult. You know, it was like a 15-hour job to strip the thing down and start up again, that you wouldn't have bothered. But at least you knew. And it was just there. YouTube is just amazing. I think YouTube's the best site on the internet, really, I do. Simon says, kowtowing to the royal family in this country is ridiculous. I know. Enjoy your webinar, Paul. See you tomorrow. I just think if you're going to do that, you know, maybe you could get into a dialogue with the person and maybe they would have been willing to make a change in return for like being featured or something. But to get nothing and just all of a sudden Sussex Royal launches, and that was the first that he knew of it. That is just not on. That really is giving precedence to one user over another. And I know they're the royal family, but so what? You know, they should have thought of that and registered their name or the name that they wanted way, way, way before that. But that's them, isn't it? It made me think less of them, put it like that. It made me think less of them. So that was YouTube. Yeah, I'm loving that. I'm loving my PPD system as well. Just purely for the fact that I can look at it and know how much work I've done this year, basically. How much work I've done. I can also, sometimes there's nothing worse than watching a video, getting the information that you need from it, and then thinking that was a very good video, thinking I'm not going to need that information again. And before you know it, you do need that information again. And then you cannot find that video. You can find a video, but not that video. And it was that video you wanted to watch. One thing I've wanted for a while, and I've just never made the effort, to be honest, to go and look up how. But I've seen people have got a subscribe to me on YouTube link in their emails or their website or whatever. And I'm thinking that must be a special link. Instead of just taking you through to the page where they have to manually click subscribe, there must be some magic on that link. And I just never bothered to go look at it. And it was because I'm thinking, oh yes, I need to know how to do that. And then I'd be thinking, yeah, but not right now. You know, it'll do whenever, Not, I don't need it right now. But I was sitting here and I thought, what is that link? I thought. So I went off to YouTube and I Googled it. You know, searched in YouTube for it. Found a video, started watching it, told you exactly what you needed to know. I don't actually need to use that information yet, though. But because I've got this system in Notion where I can just clip the video to Notion and then put the text underneath, I don't need to re-watch that now, but I'll know that I saved the video and all I actually need to do is go to it and I've typed out the link underneath. And then I can decide what to, where to put it, etc. Paul's in Mike's webinar. And you know, he could be. He could be. What's Mike's webinar? Let me fill you in on what Mike's webinar is actually called today. Right, Mike is doing Excel data. Hang on, no. Data visualization charting 101. That's what he's doing. So if that's where Paul's gone, it'll be Mike he's with. Oh, fantastic, fantastic. So do you track your own learning in some kind of way? Let me know. And apart from Kim would definitely like me to get hold of Devon Think and do something with it. It's a big topic. Can't do that in a day. It's a big topic. Is there anything else that has occurred to you this week that you might want to look at on Friday? Otherwise, you get me with my choice of what I think would be useful. I was actually looking at Notion and thinking what might be useful. We've built a MacBytes 2.0 dashboard. We had a 0 and then we had a 1 and then I built a 2.0. Mike promptly had a major calamity with it. So now we have a 2.1 that's logged. So Mike doesn't make a calamity with it. You've got to go backwards and learn about Alfred workflows. It's worth the effort. It really is worth the effort. I would say if you're going to look at Alfred workflows, take a look at Keyboard Maestro as well, because there's a lot of crossover with them and you may decide to do something in one way rather than another because of a particular reason. So that would be my best advice with that. Take a look at the pair of them together. And Kim likes the big topics. It made you fall in love with Notion over all of them. Well, Devon Think will be a big topic, won't it? There's so much to it. There's kind of configuring it and setting it up and all of how the databases work and stuff, which I know we've had a little look at, but it wouldn't make sense to say go back like 5 months, would it? So we'll start from scratch with it. But, you know, then you've got it, hooking it up with scanners and you've got the automations. There's a lot to it. So that's going to be definitely more than 1 week. Let's put it like that. What else did I do? What I usually look at what I've been doing in the week and then find a practical use for it. One of the things I did was tidy up at the weekend. Mike's a whiz with spreadsheets, but he's got no clue as to what they should look like. He kind of sees through the formatting, and if the formatting is absolutely appalling, he just ignores it and carries on. And I'm like, can't use that. Look at the state of it. So I actually have sorted out a spreadsheet for the buy requests. So that's exactly where your stuff would go in, Kim, your request. And we've got kind of a running order for the show. We've got songs that we think would be a good idea to include. And then we've got this thing called Next Week, and that's got in it the songs we would intend to play. The beauty of it was, and the bit that Mike was struggling with, which is quite surprising because I wouldn't have expected him to struggle with this at all, was When we're using it, we're using it in anger. We are in the middle of a live show. So if you have ever seen behind the scenes of a TV show, when you're looking at the control deck where the producer and director are, with all those monitors in front of them and they're switching from one to the other, that's basically what we're doing, but we're doing it with audio. So behind the scenes while the music's playing, yes, Mike can have a bop every now and then, but particularly in the first hour of the show, there's a lot of requests coming in and they're coming in from all over the place. So we are throwing them into this spreadsheet and trying to make sense out of them and get a usable running order. But then something else will come in and you'll make a decision that you don't particularly want, like 20 minutes of songs from 1959. because somebody's going to nod off. So if you're playing one, then you go for a more upbeat one, and then you go for something else. So these things are constantly being moved around in the spreadsheet. And I said to Mike, it's getting confusing because when you copy and paste, if you just paste rather than paste and match style, which is, you know, like one step further, you get the formatting goes. We have alternate row colouring applied and that disappears and it causes havoc. Last week he had half of it green and I'm like, Mike, why is this green? I can barely read it. And it was all to do with the fact I'd said to him, can you just sling some conditional formatting on it? And if a song has been played, it dims out. It goes to grey. Simple request. I know it is because I've done it before, but I was busy being the DJ and I didn't have time to do it myself. Mike couldn't make it work, so he ended up doing it by hand. It was a nightmare. So on Sunday, I sat down and I said, look, I'm going to fix this spreadsheet. And that's what I did. And now when you put a tick in the played column, everything on the row dims out. So it's a conditional format on it. Good evening, Tracy. How are you doing? I haven't been in Slack, but I saw a notification and I believe you have good news. So that's fantastic. We won't say any more publicly. Good that you are here with us now. That's amazing. So that's what I did with this spreadsheet. I put a tick in the box and now everything dims out. So I could certainly show you how I built that. I could see uses for that, particularly maybe balancing checkbooks and things where when you've done it, you want it to dim out or change colour or flash red, whatever you want, you can do. So I did that earlier in the week. All is okay. Tracy couldn't be happier for you. Could not be happier for you. Love to all. Literally all. All of them. We've had a ball discussing all kinds of things tonight. That'd be good for genealogy, would it? Oh, the spreadsheet. Ah, yep, okay then. I will put that down there. It's fairly straightforward. Once I'd done it, Mike said, well, how did you do that? Because I did everything and it didn't work. And it was one character that was missing. So if you were doing it in Excel, you would do it one way. But obviously, I'm doing it in Google Sheets. I could do it in Excel. Mike loves Excel. He adores Excel. But it's not great when it comes to sharing and you've got Excel up and then it's creating and it's not updating. So it's far easier for me to just have a spreadsheet up all week in Google Sheets in a tab. So I have Vivaldi and I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 9, 12, 15, 18, 21. I have 21 tabs open permanently. I would say it varies between sort of 18 to 20 normally. And they are all the things that I use. So I don't particularly browse in Vivaldi. It's a kind of framework that I access things on the internet with. One of the spreadsheets, I've got two spreadsheets open. One of them is the MacBytes tracker, the after hours tracker, which is what I've done with it and why something is on a certain day. And there are rolling quarters with it. Actually, that one wouldn't be a bad one to show either, would it? Might do that as well. And the other one is this music tracker now. Initially, we had one file per show, but it makes sense to actually have it all together now and have a template and do all of that. What have we got from Simon? What have we got from Simon? I'm thinking that's Dusty. Dusty the dog. That's such a good name for a dog. I love that. Right, let's have a look. What's he been up to? Oh, look at that face. They're so expressive. I love it when they put their head on one side as though they're really listening. And what they're actually thinking is, yeah, fine, walk. Walk me. Lola's been so sweet the last 3 days. She's actually come into the office and settled. She doesn't do that. Maya never did either. He was like, it's as though Samoyeds, they are reindeer herders and they look after their pack. So Maya always settled near a door. He felt it was his job to guard the door. And Lola was pretty much the same. But for the last 3 days, little by little, it's like, oh, they're in the office. I think I'll toddle in and sit with them. And if there's a treat coming my way, yeah, that would be good too. So she's been so sweet. But that put the head on one side. It's gorgeous. He's absolutely beautiful. And of course, I remember it's his birthday next month. It's Lola's birthday next month. And it's a lovely Rachel's birthday on Friday. It'd be a bit tricky in lockdown to do something special. Oh, he's absolutely gorgeous. Kiva's currently in a timeout in her kennel for taking my lunch off the counter. Kim, she's been very naughty this week. I think she's testing you. We haven't got a kennel. Oh, that's a good point. Mum said no. Mum said we weren't having a kennel. That he was part of the family and he was staying in the house. So he never had a kennel. When we took him out to Pets at Home, he was a bad lad. This one's up there with nicking your dinner, Kim. We went out and I said, do not whittle in the store. Now, actually, they're quite laid back about that, but they're not too handy. You know, if there's anything else beyond a whittle, that they get a little bit upset. But we said, no, we'll run him round to make sure that there's no little accidents in the store. And that was fine. We heads over there, him on the lead. We toddles over to the entrance. And somebody was obviously there. Oh, what a lovely dog. So we stopped. They petted him. They keep talking. Mayor looks round. He sees a rabbit hutch, cocks his leg on it. We dragged him inside that fast. He was still on three legs as he was moving. Mayor, no. No, don't do that. At least with Lola, she wouldn't cock her leg on it, being a girl. But then you never know, do you? Anything to show you up. That's what I would say. She really needs time out running. Are you taking her to the local school tomorrow? Oh, she will love that. She will love that. I think Lola's pretty much the same. We're trying to keep her off the park where other dogs are running, and then you're chasing after your dog with other people. So she's been on like fields and things, but not off the lead. And maybe she would like that. Hence the zoomies. The zoomies round the garden. But she can zoom around the garden as much as she likes. And she's been very compliant in the grooming department. So I think she is now very, very much at home. We've got a friend who rescues dogs in the States. I think she lives near somewhere called Wilmington. Yeah, Wilmington. Is that Virginia? Or am I a million miles away? Wilmington, anyway. And she said after 3 days, they kind of reach one level. 3 weeks, they reach another. And then at 3 months, they're settled. And we were like, oh, we've known Lola for ages. She'll be fine. But at the 3 month mark, she really did settle. So spot on accurate. 4 miles today. I think Mike went two in the morning, two in the afternoon. So probably about equal with you. About. Possibly a little bit less. Really here depends on the heat. She gets very... Delaware. Hmm. I'll find out, Kim. I'll find out which one. She gets a little bit hot. But one good thing is when we take her out walking on the pavement, it kind of gets her nails sorted, because obviously you don't want an accident with the nails at the minute. Her nails were really quite long when she arrived here, because most of her walking was in the park. And I don't want to be clipping nails and then potentially causing problems, because it won't stop bleeding. We actually have a bag of flour in, not flour we could eat, just in case there's an accident with her foot, because that's what you're supposed to do. Put a powder on it and then wrap it up and then get them to a vet as soon as. Right, Wilmington. Which Wilmington is it? Wilmington. I'm not sure how many C's are in that. Will that do? Right, it's that one there. What state are you in? It just says Wilmington, for crying out loud. Come on, which one? I didn't know there was different ones. Is there an address at the bottom? That's a good place to start, isn't there? Is there an address at the bottom? No, there isn't, but it does say contact us. So let's try for that. No, just an address. Could it be somewhere out California way? Maybe, maybe not. It's basically, there is an AstraZeneca site there. It doesn't give me an address of where it actually is, though. Hang on. No, there's a phone number. And they are open East Coast time. So that's not looking like California, is it? Contact us online. No, just give me your address. That's what I'm looking for. It's where AstraZeneca is. She lives near there. But it doesn't tell me where that is. I thought all websites had to have an address on. That's certainly the case in the United Kingdom. That's for sure. But there's nothing up there. So there's Wilmingtons all over the place. I was not made aware of this. This is not on. This is confusing for me. I'll find out. But she actually has all these dogs in her home. She must have like 6 to 8. A dog she's had for a long, long time is very, very ill at the moment, though. And she said, you know, he's losing his fight. He's at the point now where he can't actually walk very well. And she doesn't think he's going to be with them very long. And that was one of her favourites. I don't think they could find a home for him. And then he'd been there that long that they were like, oh, we'll just keep him. But she's still rescued. She rescues hundreds a year. I don't know how she does it. On top of a full-time job and looking after her own dogs and her own family. She's just amazing. And it's always lovely when you see the pictures and like, we're looking for a home for this dog. And then the next minute somebody's taken them and then you get the pictures of the dog settling in and it's lovely. It's really nice. It's where AstraZeneca is, so wherever that is. I can see the AstraZeneca site, can't see any more than that. But I'm still looking at Dusty. Oh, what a handsome, handsome soul. I think I might have to show Lola. That won't please Ollie. Ollie's got a thing for Lola. But obviously, during lockdown, the family aren't going on holiday, so we don't get Ollie. We've not even seen the lovely Ollie since last October. But apparently he's pining. He's used to them going away and then he's used to coming here. It's in Delaware. Okay, thank you for that one. Why did I think it was Virginia? No, I have no idea why I thought it was. But that's where she is. And that's what she does, which I find amazing. I do. We had another event coming up in about just over a week, I think. Remember I told you my birthday weekend we were going to go to Liverpool to the dog show? And we couldn't because of lockdown. Every year for the last 3 years, I've tried to get to the Manchester one. And every year it's clashed with a Catanian do. But I was determined this year, you know, having done Mike's VP year and done his P year, his vice presidential year and his presidential year, that whatever it was going to have to wait. I was going to the Manchester Dog Show. Manchester Dog Show has been cancelled. Not pleased. Dogs are so much better than people and I wanted to go and see the dogs. But no, I can't do that. Oh, so aggrieving. Actually, we didn't do a Liverpool one either, so I don't think that's going to happen till next year at the absolute earliest. But even then, who knows? Who knows how long this mess is going to go on? Actually, it's the 27th, isn't it? As I understood it, maybe Simon can help out here. As I understood it, wasn't Boris supposed to be telling us where we were going for the next 3 weeks at this point? Because I haven't heard that. But there again, I'm boycotting the TV news at the moment. So there's a possibility that's the problem. Have we got any news on that yet? We are supposed to be having our 3 week review where he's telling us what's happening. So far, we've heard non-essential shops can open from the 15th of June. That does not include hairdressers. No, all I can see so far is track and trace starting tomorrow. And there's things of how it will work, etc. But nothing else mentioned. No, I can't see a thing. So I've no idea what we're supposed to be doing and what we're not supposed to be doing. But Boris has said it's time for the UK to move on from the Dominic Cummings row. Move on. Nothing to see. That's not going to happen. I don't know why he just doesn't get rid of him, because his ratings have dropped like a stone. Oh, and then if you're abroad, you may not have heard this classic either. Coming on top of the Dominic Cummings can travel to see his parents thing. There was an MP and the police were called to his house because there was a party going on. He comes on Twitter. And he says, I was 200 miles away in London and my family, this is point two, my family have been reminded of the guidance set out by the government. Absolute classic. This was after all of the other stuff. And still, the family of an MP think it's a good idea to have a party. There are no words, are they? There really are no words for the stupidity which we find ourselves with. And it's always the MPs or their families or their advisers. It's never, you know, normal people who are abiding by the rules and suffering. You know, we've got people locally. There was a charity, and this charity handed out to single mothers and low-income families baby stuff. And they're really struggling, and people are at home, and they've got people who have anxiety disorders, not helped when they've just had a baby. They can't go out over the doorstep. The charity's struggling to provide enough for supplies for everybody, but they're coping. They're not having a party. They're not going out 200 miles to look for childcare. It's ridiculous. I got so giddy about it that I said to Mike, I'm going to have to stop watching the news. So, yeah, well, the cat's away. Oh, absolutely. 10,000 people laid off from Boeing, as well as 5,000 from the local hospital. That's scary, isn't it? We have quite a lot on furlough from British Airways. We have a friend who is an engineer at British Airways, one of the senior engineers as well. He travels all over the world working on engines for them. And I think they kept him on for about 3 or 4 weeks. And then literally there just wasn't enough flights to warrant it. So they put him on furlough. They're now talking about having problems keeping on 12,500 staff members. So there are the impact of this is just going to go on and on, isn't it? But hopefully we're on the way out of it. But I think it's still a long way to go. Irrespective of what Boris may or may not say, he seems to be trying to edge his way to an extra couple of days every now and then. So we as we know, we're in week 11 here. But officially, we're in week 10. So we're halfway through week 10 from when Boris locked us down. But it's supposed to be reviewed every 3 weeks. That would be the end of week 3, 6 and 9, Boris. So halfway in the middle of week 10, you've clawed back 3 days here and Easter there. And he's just kind of pushing it forward. People over here, Kim, are so peeved at losing all their holidays. There have been Good Friday, Easter Monday, the VE Day holiday on the 8th and the late Spring Bank holiday. That, you know, they're furloughed from work or whatever, and that's normally days they would be taking off. That the somebody or other, I think it represented companies, had said, or employees, one or the other, can we have a bank holiday in October, you know, to make up for this? Give the country a chance to, like, have a day's peace where it's not in the middle of lockdown. And the government have said no, it would impact the economy too much. Like, a lockdown for 10 and a half weeks, 11 weeks hasn't impacted everybody's mental health, irrespective of the economy. But no, they've said no. I've got a sneaking suspicion some people might do it anyway. Maybe even some companies would do it. I think they would benefit from the goodwill involved. But we shall just have to see what's going on. You have not heard people be concerned about holidays. It's just people that are like, not that they want to go away. I mean, they do want to go away. They want, that's a thing in this country I can't understand. It's all over the rags that pass for newspapers. Of, oh, fantastic, we might be able to go to Spain on holiday. And I'm like, do you know what? If you do, don't come back. You're supposed to have 14 days quarantine on your return. So how does that work? But there have been people who are very aggrieved that's like their downtime from work, and they feel it's kind of been stolen. We don't have very many. In fact, I don't think we have any. We have no bank holidays, a national holiday, between the end of August, the last Monday in August, and Christmas. So that's why they've suggested October, just to break up that long period between the 1st of September and Christmas. I don't think it will happen unless he needs to buy some goodwill. And seeing as though the Dominic Cummings row is rumbling on, he might need to buy some goodwill. Other than that, I really don't see that happening. I think it's going to depend with your employer. I mean, Mike and I are on holiday this week and next week, because if he doesn't, it's not that he would lose holiday. He would not be able to buy any more. And we deem it worthwhile to buy more days holiday. So he has the days that he has, which I think from memory is something stupid like 35. And then we buy another 10 days. And it isn't really to go on holiday in like a 2 week holiday. It would be for when we put the Munich Memorial things on, you need a couple of days. When we have our break in February, need a couple of days. You need the Friday and you need the Monday. And then what we're left with, if we work our holidays in around the bank holidays, which is what we've done this time, because he's actually only got 9 days holiday. But we picked this week because Monday was a bank holiday. So for Mike, I guess he did get the bank holiday. But seeing as though he's working from home, it doesn't feel like a holiday. It doesn't feel different. But he has actually had his holidays. Just that we wanted to break it up. We wanted to have 1 week in June. And we would have picked what's turned out to be, although we wouldn't have known that at the time, WWDC week, which starts the 22nd. So we would have picked that week, but it's not worked out like that because that wasn't the week we'd booked. And then we had to move it around and then we've just got these 2 weeks. So I'm a bit peeved that we can't do what we wanted to do in the holiday. And that wasn't going abroad on holiday. It was things like making sure that the fences panels that need replacing are actually replaced. We can't do that because the shops aren't open. So I can't get fence panels here. I did actually, I mentioned to you guys about 2 weeks ago that we were contemplating IKEA. Now, IKEA is still closed, but that wouldn't have made much difference as long as they could do deliveries, because what we wanted was too big to put in the car anyway. So I said to Mike about 10 days ago, right, we need to know if we can do this in the holiday or not. So I goes online to IKEA. I puts the stuff I want in the basket. One of them was probably about 6 foot long and in the box, probably 6.5 foot. Gets it in the basket, puts the smaller stuff in the basket with it, does the checkout thing, says home delivery. And I wanted a quote, and I wanted a quote in two ways. I wanted to know how much it would cost, and I wanted to know when I could expect to see it. How much it would have costed was £29 on a bill of about 130, which was all its money. But the reason it ended up to be, in terms of how much money was on the bill, so expensive, was they would not home deliver anything other than the one item. So all the rest of the stuff that I needed to do the job, not available for home delivery. Well, hello, you're closed. So if you don't deliver it to me, how am I supposed to buy it? Just a thought. That was bad enough, because it would have been a case of like, well, that's the only way to get it here, and you've got to pay £29 to have it delivered. You've got to pay £29 to have it delivered. Right. And when can I have it? Middle of July. Yeah, that's not going to work either. Basically, put the Christmas tree up and sling a star on the top. That was the absolute earliest. And I'm like, that's not going to work, Mike. That's 3 months from our holiday. So basically, what we're going to need to do in the next couple of weeks is make our mind up what we're doing in August, when we have 4 days off, what we can do and what we can't do. Because, you know, in 4 days, it doesn't actually give you much time. But if I ordered the stuff early enough, I could pick it up. IKEA are also opening, but we've looked at that and we've decided not happening. The thing that annoyed me with it, Kim, was the click and collect, we don't have a concept of that, as far as I'm aware. We have delivery and we have you can go in store. But what annoyed me so much, they're opening them up, you know, so you can go down and you can risk your life and limb to buy this stuff, but it's going to be £29 if you want one delivered, and you can have it in the middle of whenever. They have had long enough now. If they want their business to thrive, they've had long enough now to make their mind up what they can do with deliveries. Morrisons have been amazing, absolutely amazing. What I didn't realise with Morrisons was, even with a prime order, if the prime order, you can only place a prime order with Morrisons for over £15, which I knew. They wouldn't even take the order if it was less than £15, which is understandable because the admin wouldn't be worth it. But it was free over £15. But actually, between that was a special while the COVID thing was on. The actual price of delivery is £3.99 between £15 and £40. At the £40 mark, it's totally free. Mike's still paying upwards of £7 to have an order delivered from Tesco, irrespective of how much money he spends. So I think Morrisons have been amazing. The upshot now that the £3.99 is being charged between £15 and £40 is that twice I've been able to get same day delivery, which is amazing. You just make the decision, you know, OK, today's the day I want my order, and it arrives the same day. They've been stunning. So I'm giving them trade. IKEA, yes. If I can't get all of the stuff, then there's no point buying half the stuff from them. So they need to get their act together. I possibly, if I could get the big stuff that I needed, click and collect would be a great idea. But I'm not at all sure we've ever done that. All I know with IKEA is you turn up, you get your stuff. You then go and move your car to the pickup bay. But I'm not aware of any way that you can do that over the internet and then just go pick it up. No. But I will look into that, now I'm aware. Disaster update, an earthquake in Greece. That's not good. You may recall Carrie. She comes in as Carrie or Carrie UK. Carrie UK has a house in Greece. She's also got, I'm not sure if it's Greek citizenship, or, but there's certainly, she's in Greece a lot. On Kefalonia. And there are a lot of earthquakes over there. She's been there when there's earthquakes. But at the moment, she can't actually get over there. So she'd be very worried about that as to how her property's doing. That is not good. There was one in New Zealand as well, wasn't there? Did you see the video? There was this earthquake, I think it was 5.7, which seems fairly hefty to me. And they were interviewing the Prime Minister. And she just looked upwards and waited for it to stop. And she was actually being interviewed live on the TV. And the person in the studio said, "Are you okay to carry on? You know, are you all right?" And she looked up and she said, yeah, I'm fine. I'm not under anything that's going to cause a problem if it falls. Carry on." And she just carried on with the interview. What an amazing lady. Absolutely amazing. Well, I'm glad you're keeping your eye on the disasters, Kim. So far, so good here. Touching wood. Yeah. Nothing to report yet. But this time... Maybe this one will turn into like the non-event holiday. That'd do. That would be good. Well, I'm going to head off and spend more time with Devonthink. Might have to put a genealogy spin on that. But that's what I'm intending to do anyway. So I hope you all have a fabulous day. And if you're in the UK, a fabulous evening. We will be back with you tomorrow night once I've investigated Click and Collect at IKEA. So have a lovely, lovely day. Obviously, I'm going to have to say good night from me and good night from Mike, who's deep in a charts session, potentially with Paul. We're not sure. But good night to you all and stay safe, guys.